have to listen to it.
This week's show, because it was a disaster.
When you live in a beach resort, it's easy to forget whether you are playing or working. On each week's show, we settle in with a cocktail and try to figure out if there is a difference. This is Day Drinking on Delmarva.
I am Todd from GoodCleanFunLife.com.
And I am Tony Russo, no relation, and you're listening to Day Drinking on Delmarva, a podcast about life and culture on the Delmarva Peninsula. Todd gets to drink because he lives here. I have to drink because I live here. So much fun stuff to get to today. It's been a really weird 2 or 3 days. I've had like epiphany after epiphany. We're going to talk about one. But before we get to that, we always like to shout out one of our sponsors. Our sponsors are the companies that we like. And in this case, it is Good Clean Fun Life Productions, which is you, Todd.
That's me, GCFL Productions, celebrating our 10th year in business and 15th year of making videos. How about that? Because that's what we're going to talk about.
That is, and we are going to be video heavy this week, even for me.
And if you're finding this on social media, we've been doing this podcast for several years, almost as long as we've been doing video. And there's always been some video component. And Tony, yes. maybe now, April 2024, is the time where we will actually break through with a video component that we're trying to get the word across.
Maybe. It might be 2034, because we do have one last hurdle to overcome. But before we get into that, because I do want to get into, I'm doing new stuff with video. Todd is continuing to do stuff with video. There was a podcast we both listened to this week that had some really interesting insights on videos, but it is a beautiful day. It's been beautiful several times this week. I've burned through multiple cigars, and, nice. Todd was just mentioning, don't sleep on April, I think was what you said.
Yes.
So when you say don't sleep on April, what do you mean?
What I like to say is we are so frequently going from March and St. Patrick's Day or spring break, and then looking forward to the beginning of summer. You know, it's ingrained right. In grade school. And you know, now that we're not in school anymore, there are a lot of good things to be had in the months of April and May. Now, yeah, we might have another 50 degree, 45 degree, windy, blowing, rainy, and all that sort of thing. But I'm making the conscious decision to focus on how good this shoulder season is. Like we talk a lot about September and October being great. The weather is still good. All the tourists are gone and that sort of thing. But we never seem to say the same thing about April and May. Like we're trying to jump ahead to that June, and June and July go by so quick. And this is me constantly talking about it to the point where my positivity is annoying to Natalie. And most people that I'm coming in contact with, but I think it just has a lot to offer. It's beautiful. The entertainment schedules at places, down here at the beach are filling up. People are opening on a more regular basis. They're switching from, you know, a couple weekend days to maybe full time. And it's just it's a great time to focus on it. And the last thing I'll say is that it came to mind because a friend of mine, we played golf one day last summer, and it was the middle of July. And he goes, boys, this is what we wait all year for. And while it really helped anchor me in that moment and enjoy that moment in the middle of July, that one day, I'm like, as soon as that was done, I'm like, that's kind of sad.
Yeah.
Like there's plenty of good times to be had. And many opportunities to have. So just a little refocus there.
So I've always been kind of against the whole, like, this generation does this and this generation does that. I don't like the broad strokes, mostly because I'm I was born in 1970. So I'm only barely a Gen X person. I'm really a very, very, very young baby boomer. And I kind of carry myself that way. But this is, Gen X is better at being empty nest parents than the boomers ever could have been, because they just didn't get it. They're like, oh, now I have more time to put my nose to the grindstone, right? And now, so we're empty nesters, and like I'm the older part of Gen Z, but you know, my brother, I mean, Gen X, whatever. My brother Bobby, his kids are going in the next 3 or 4 years. His kids will be gone away to college and off into the world on their own, and we can enjoy those long weekends, you know, at the beach in a very particular way, because we don't need to have the vacation week. We've never been a vacation kind of generation. We've been like, okay, I have 2 days off. Do I have money? What am I going to spend it on?
Right.
And so the last of the kids is off, and you're like, oh, I have a couple dollars and I can spend it on just a weekend out here or there. I don't have a couple dollars, by the way, because I just had to pay taxes for the first time in my life. Boy, that was unpleasant.
That's not something fun to look forward to about April.
No, that is not something. That's probably why April gets so much shit, because people don't know until halfway through April whether or not they have any money to spend. People who know they have money to spend, they did their taxes in January and spent it in February. People like me that are like hoping against hope that some one more deduction is going to come through. Like, you know, maybe I'll find out I had an illegitimate kid somewhere or something, anything last year, but nothing happened. So I got no such
luck.
Probably just as well. after spending 10 minutes bragging about being an empty nester, you don't want to find out there's an infant somewhere with a goofy little beard. So the other thing, Kelly pointed this out to me today, and I've written about this before, and I want to revise it. And we've talked about it 1,000 times. There are more and more tribute acts that are making their way to Salisbury. Like, yes, everyone goes to Ocean's Calling if they're new and hot or on the way up or on the way down. But if you play someone on TV who used to be hot and on the way up, apparently you play in the Salisbury Civic Arena. They've got Leonard Skinner, a faux Leonard Skinner coming. They've got a bunch of these cover acts. And again, I know we've been over this 1,000 times, and I'm sorry to bring it up, but cover acts playing arenas it's not a bar.
Yeah.
It's a 15,000 seat arena to hear some guys like me noodling around on Freebird for 45 minutes. That's just
right.
Again, God bless you. Drink what you like and be happy. But it's strange. It's strange that we've kind of got this, Salisbury has this kind of magnetism for arena sized tribute bands. Like is this new? Is it something that like I thought of tribute bands, bar bands. I never thought of them.
I think this is a great time.
Straight, but go ahead.
We talk about it at least a couple times a year, but it's the distinction between a cover band and the tribute band, because the tribute embodies the soul of the band and tries to stay true to the general vibe and that sort of thing. And what they have that the original doesn't have is a lot of times youth and inexpensiveness, right? Being alive. But they also have the ability to take the people watching on a little bit of a musical history tour, you know, like, there was a Bob Seger act. What were they called at Freeman last summer? And you know, he said at the beginning of the show, he's like, if you learn nothing else other than, or what I want you to do is enjoy the show, but I also want you to realize the breadth and depth of the catalog that Bob Seger was a part of. And then also some of the ancillary sort of acts that came about because of that. I mean, the Eagles is probably the best example because of the sheer talent that was stacked in that band. And when, you know, when you're a tribute act, you can play the Joe Walsh songs and not be bitter about it or something like that.
I was thinking the very thing. Like if I interviewed, by the way, the Leonard Skinner group is called High Noon. So if I interviewed High Noon, I'm like, what would be the deepest cut that you would play? Like, you know, do you try to play songs that like nobody knows or it's just really Freebird, you know, three different ways or whatever. But in Salisbury, I wanted to read you the lineup because I thought it was fantastic. There's Gringo Jingo, the Santana, Earth, Wind and Fire, tribute band and dinner and show. That's the other thing. The dinner and show, really.
Well, I mean,
you're at a wedding with a band that doesn't know that they're playing a wedding. That's except Real Diamond, which is the premier Neil Diamond tribute band. That is a dinner and show type band, you know. Love on the Rocks ain't no surprise. It's just the dinner. That's what it was. The dinner and the show. I guess it's like the Copacabana, right? It's like I think of in Goodfellas where they walk in and they go Copacabana and like Jerry Vale is singing there. It's different.
Yeah. So even Ocean's Calling, right? Blink 182 is one of the headliners, and they've been, you know, pop punk that started when they were, you know, teenagers, and they've gone through, I mean, plane crashes and breakups and, you know, and all of these things, and they're coming back. And somebody said, it's great that all of these, even the original bands are returning, but we're all older now. Can't we just agree that a show can start at 6 p.m. instead of 9:45? And, you know, it will still be, you know, we'll still enjoy it. We'll still hold our lighters up at the right time or phone flashlights. And we all can get a good night's sleep, but you know,
no reason to hold you reach a certain age, you stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning, and that is the rest of your day.
Yes,
that's very, very, very fun. Anyway, so you know, I feel like we've talked about doing stuff like this. I'd like to. I really wish I had known in advance. Actually, Leonard Skinner won't be here till October. Maybe we can do something on Leonard Skinner.
I have a great question for the Leonard Skinner tribute band. Do they find it as annoying to play Freebird every every show as actual Leonard Skinner does? And you know.
Right. I wonder if they play it. One of the things is I saw what's his name? Arlo Guthrie. I saw Arlo Guthrie for the 40th anniversary of Alice's Restaurant, which is his most famous song. You know, if you know any Arlo Guthrie songs at all, it's Alice's Restaurant. And then I saw him, I guess, we used to go up there at Thanksgiving. He was in New York at Thanksgiving. I was in New York. You know, I'd meet up with my buddy Arlo. And he came out one night and he's like, I'm not playing Alice's Restaurant anymore. This is it. The song's been retired. Don't ask.
Right.
And I was perfectly fine with it because I'm an Arlo Guthrie fan, and everyone else was perfectly fine with it as well. Everyone had a great time, and he hasn't played it since then. And there are a couple things. I mean, you know, he says fag in a really kind of derogatory 1968 way. And I'm sure he doesn't want to change it, and he doesn't want to take it back. And I'm sorry. Yeah. He didn't tell me this last time we met. I have no idea. I don't know Arlo Guthrie at all. But that's the impression I got is that he's not, you know, it's a 25-minute long song. And it's very nostalgic. And it's that kind of like poison nostalgia. I don't know whether nostalgia can ever be healthy, but I don't know whether that is healthy nostalgia. So maybe it's like that. Maybe they're like, no, I think if you're a Lynyrd Skynyrd tribute band, actually it's Lynyrd Skynyrd and Southern Rock tribute. So maybe they only play, Freebird. They play Freebird. They play Give Me Three Sips. Is that, I confuse Lynyrd Skynyrd and the Almonds all the time. Sorry.
Yeah. Time to pick up.
Yeah. Time to pick up Nathan in 45 minutes. So anyway, that was that. I'm sorry we got so far afield, because I do want to talk about my new plan for social media, your continuing plan for social media, and some of the good news that, you know, some of the sky is falling good news. The sky is falling, and thank Christ, it's about time.
Yes. Tony sent me a podcast. I'm going to intro it. How's that?
Please.
You sent me a podcast by HubSpot, right?
Yes.
And it's the podcast I've been looking for. I probably have come across it, and I just like haven't really dove into it or something like that. But it's Marketing Against the Grain is the podcast, and two seasoned guys. It's quick. It's an easy listen, and it's the conversation that's going on in my head almost on a regular basis, almost a continuous basis. And this one in particular was about how SEO is dead and five ways to save your business. And, there's a lot, we've talked about AI, and we've been very, welcoming. It's a tool. Depending on how you use it, it's going to be good. But I think in the greater media scape, there's a lot more doom and gloom. And, it's easy to see where, little things that I do that I have value to my clients could be replaced by an AI language model or something like that. And I want to hear your thoughts on the podcast that we listened to. And we'll link it in the show notes, I'm sure.
But yes.
One of the most interesting things is like, all right, AI is coming in, it's going to disrupt, and it's going to put some people, out of business. And in this case, they're talking specifically about SEO companies and, companies that have done SEO since the beginning. That has never really been my forte and what we have focused on. Obviously, creating videos is a primary portion of our business, and that's authentic and organic and, and all of those things. And we've seen some great results. What I found most interesting is they're saying is as people and some services are no longer are going to be replaced by AI, there's still marketing dollars that companies, big and small, have associated with those services, and they're going to go other places, presumably. Maybe not all of it, but, some of it. And what these guys were talking about is how video is one of the things that AI is going to have a really hard time replacing, because you and I have been doing this for so long. People who know who we are, people have a relationship with the podcast, not a lot, but some do. And it's just not going to replace that. And also, I found interesting what they said about video is the hard thing. And that's what marketing is going to be in the future, is doing the hard thing.
I knew how that, because also, we're saying video because I've been banging the audio drum for a very long time. And they said audio as well. Audio and video are both harder because you can't. What made me happy about it is they said, because you have to pay professionals to do them. You can't just say, write me a story about cats that is keyworded for black cats, and then go have lunch and come back and find that you have $10,000 in your bank account. The risk of sounding too communist manifesto here, the power looks as if it's headed back into the hands of the workers. And while the SEO people might be sweating it, I'm feeling great. I actually just wrote, no one has seen it, and I don't know if they'll see it before this is out, but I just wrote a kind of like, okay, I'm back and here's what I'm doing for my Substack, which I will continue to do and I'll continue to write. I have people who sponsor me on Substack and I write for them and they read what I write. But I also, 2 essays ago, started recording my voice, reading the essay. And I'm putting them out on like a separate podcast feed so that I have access to people who don't want to sit and read. I don't like that, you know, that's the way that things are going, but at least I'm prepared for it. And it doesn't really change, but my stories don't change, just the way that people get them change. So I'm very excited about that, but more important even than that, and this is kind of like my biggie-ish announcement, I haven't decided the platform yet. And I have 3 whole days to do it, but starting on, I think this Friday, I'm doing a funeral news video for work. That will be free and available for people for that reason, because I've been writing this same thing. I've been writing this kind of snarky, not snarky, but certainly Tony, no one's confused. It's in my voice.
I was going to say, I mean, all you have to say is Tony Russo wrote this.
Just using my regular old Tony Russo voice, you know, rounding up all the stories that I couldn't turn into big features for the week. And it's 1,000 words. It's 1,200 words. It'll take 5 to 7 minutes to read at the outside. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it on video. I'll do the reading. One cut. If I stumble over a word, I stumble over a word just over the news. I'll get better at it and I'll get better at it. And I might not promote it so much until I get a hang of it. But again, the idea for a guy like me who is never going to be able to sell one thing to one person for whatever reason, you know, establishing that I am a person who does this kinds of thing, you know, like
my writing always
spoke for itself. And now, you know, my audio and video production, my audio production is also spoken for itself, I think, but I'm going to do a video very much like this. I also feel better because I started my sentence of the day, you know, a couple of weeks ago. And so this is something that, this is a place where I think I can thrive. I feel like the internet finally caught up to what I want to do. And now that I'm doing it and the internet might like it, then maybe, you know, maybe I can make a better living at it, or at least I can get my work out there better.
Yes. And the grand scheme of things is, you know, they're talking about, you know, like what's going to happen to Google and social media over the course of the next 10 years. And it's going to go someplace, whether it's community or something that hasn't been invented yet. I mean, you know, and they were the podcast, at least they were very big on YouTube, and I have been very big on YouTube since the beginning. And really, you know, it goes back to the case study of my own children, who even to this day don't sit down in front of the TV and put on a streaming network. And you know, that like the shows that they've watched on YouTube and the YouTubers have evolved. But they're there, and it's the second largest search engine. And, you know, and I was kind of blown away by really
good one. If I can interrupt, because one of the things that they brought out on this podcast, which I can't believe it took me this long to, it's one of those things where someone points something out and you're like, yes, of course. When you search for something on Google, like, you know, what was Abraham Lincoln's dog's name? It gives you the answer.
Yeah.
It used to be, here are some websites where you can find that answer. So one of the things that they brought out is the deal used to be, I write cool stuff that you need. You tell people where they can find the cool stuff. And that's our relationship, mine and Google's. Now, Google just takes my cool stuff, tells it to people, and they don't have to come to my website to find that out. And just, you know, just as I was saying, I don't want to work for Facebook and have to write these long posts that people read and still don't come to my website, you know, I would rather not do it. And hearing that thing about Google was the one thing that just finally moved me. I'm like, you know what? YouTube, they need to, they can't they say, they need me on YouTube. I've been just selling my ability to research and my take and my, you know, kind of my kind of deep dive abilities, and not selling my personality. And I think that is, you know, no one would ever confuse me with an influencer, but I have an authenticity when I speak that I also have when I write. And now I'm not going to be able to be, it's going to be harder to hide me because I'm not AI, you know, and all the people who have been relying on AI are might have a little bit more trouble kind of breaking through.
Well, and to anybody who asks the question, should I be on YouTube? And the simple answer that I now have from listening to this podcast is like, there's a strong likelihood that in 10 years time or in some years, Google's primary business is going to be YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, that like there will be a shift because AI and chat and that sort of stuff is going to take care of the answering of things. And
but it's also going to get boring as hell.
Yeah. Well, and then, I just had a great idea. That was the light bulb going off. Is that ringing? while we're in this transition, what we should do, Tony, is we should just start a YouTube short series of reading definitions of words. And describing how this or and saying how they are spelt, you know, because like how often do you just put in a search in the search bar, how to spell a word and then and check, make sure you're using it properly. Well, you probably not as much as me, but I do that quite often.
No, I do it all the time because when I'm a really bad speller. And so when I use a word that I know I don't know how to spell and I don't get a red line under it, I'm like, I don't know how to spell that word. I have to make sure I'm not using the wrong word altogether.
Right, right. And how much better would it be to, if you put that word in the search bar and instead of just getting the answer, you got you popping up and going, Todd, we've been over necessary a million times. Okay.
I before E, except after C. That's very interesting. I may start getting into the shorts for those kind of things. Not for doing definitions, but you know, it is something that I can't avoid embracing it anymore. It's time to decide whether I want to, you know, add my personality to the mix, or if I just want to type my stupid things like a fat little pigeon until I go broke. So, you know, I'm excited about it. I truly am. I'm glad that I embraced video a week and a half ago instead of today. but it's something that it just makes me feel good. It makes me feel as a guy who was starting to really kind of sweat the AI, and I was sweating the AI for different reasons. Mainly because AI sucks, but nobody cares. Like,
right.
The AI text isn't very good, but nobody wants very good texts. So it doesn't matter. They're just looking for answers a lot of the time.
Yeah.
You know, they're not looking for beautiful essays about, you know, drinking in Del Mar. And so doing this video thing is going to be huge. So looking forward to lots of great stuff from both of us in the coming weeks. We didn't play an intro. There's no intro on this.
Yeah, no, I did. Oh, did you not hear it? I wonder if you didn't hear it.
Maybe I'm almost certain.
Yeah. No, because it came up smaller.
Oh.
It's there.
Very cool. Well, we are running up toward the end, so we are going to call it off here. And you can see this on my new Tony Russo video channel. Maybe I will just make a video channel for all of my stupid things.
Why not?
But until next time, I got nothing else. How about you?
I got nothing.
All right. Well next. Remember,
at the beach.
At the beach, it's happy hour whenever you say it.
Jeez.
Day Drinking on Delmarva with Todd DeHart and Tony Russo is produced weekly, mostly by dumb luck. You can join them Wednesday afternoons or find them online at daydrinkingondelmarva.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll check back in with you next week.